All right, Tuesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Before we get to all the winning, let me say to everybody, everybody in the chat, Hassle-Free TV is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. Milwaukee James is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Key Lime 13 is on. Supergirl 21 is on. Waterline 46 is on. Michelle Tal is on. Mobetta 01 is on. Ambully is on. Prayerworks 2 is on. John Phillips is on. Mike Griffith is on. Snoddot is on. Lisa Sobo is on. Judy Anita is on. Ohio Realtor is on. Hello back to you. Let me see. Dave Souders is on. Granite 2468 is on. LA 106 Times is on. Gianna Jones is on. Grittadom is on. Milwaukee James is on. Stephen Thomas is on. Joe Heathen is on. Lynn Custer is on. Peg McGroin is on. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. Sexy Pony's on. Kev FM1 is on. The one and only Nude Monk is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Sheila K is on. Wilbur's Bud 1 is on. Conroy is on. Conservative Waffles on. Golfmaster 1 is on. Tito Rowena is on. Leon Fish Puppy's on. Snarl Barkley's on. Whammy Jammer is on. Lady Vu's on. Confederate 1 is on. Big Scott 1 is on. One Fast Rob is on. Mickey 44 is on. Luann 5 is on. Let's see if I missed anybody. DC 941 is on. Those Jesus People is on. Beckland 60 is on. Naz Yeager is on. Joe Heathen is on. Let's see if I missed anybody. I'll go scrolling down to the bottom. Refidota is on. T. Gons 1821 is on. All right, love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you in the chat. I want to start off with this before we get to all the Trump victories and some of, course, the Trump opposition. Let me get to this one story because I stumbled on this today. It's a Colin Rugg video. It was brand new, put out today by him anyway. And this is just new information about a lawsuit that's been filed against the Maui police chief. Like, Maui, yeah, I'm talking about the Lahaina fires. Maui burned to the ground. And just like Southern California, nobody's been able to go to their property since. Kind of weird, isn't it? I mean, you're not allowed really to do anything with your property. Not allowed to have access to your property. The only person that's cleaning up L.A. right now is Donald Trump. He's the only one via the EPA and Lee Zeldin. They're the only ones that are actually cleaning up L.A. Even though Gavin Newsom is putting out his podcast right now where he's trying to act like the moderate, acceptable leftist, trying to, you know, come across as the conservative leftist now suddenly. He has on Michael Savage and Charlie Kirk are his guests on the Gavin Newsom podcast. And everything they say, he pretty much agrees to right now, if you watch any segments of the podcast. But anyway, so going back to the Maui, Aaron sent me something. Fire started in Maui, August 8th, 2023. Aaron knew the question was coming.
Yeah.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. So August 8th, 2023. And here we are. You know, what is the date today, Aaron? March 11th?
11th.
March 11th, 2025. Nothing's been done. Still burnt to the ground. Nobody's rebuilt their houses. Nothing. Weird, isn't it? It's almost as if it was on purpose where you didn't allow it. You turned off the alarm system and you didn't allow any water and didn't let the citizens leave and let all their houses burn to the ground. And in L.A., you also had no water. I mean, it's kind of weird, isn't it, how that works? When these massive fires come, they're pretty predictable every year, and yet they burn everything to the ground. And lo and behold, there's no water in the fire hydrants. But anyway, so the Maui police chief, who was also the lead investigator in the Las Vegas shooting. Weird, isn't it? Well, he's popped up on the radar now as one of P. Diddy's security officers.
Oh, my God.
This is a lawsuit. This got nothing to do. This is right wing. It's not right wing conspiracy theory. He's turned up via witness as one of P. Diddy's, who we all know is we absolutely all know is a federal informant. We all know that a CIA informant, and, you know, another version of Jeffrey Epstein. With, again, why would you have cameras in every room of your house? I mean, you know, it's kind of weird. I wouldn't, you know, want cameras in my bathroom in my house. Would I ever want to see myself in that situation? Not so much. But P. Diddy Combs has cameras everywhere in all of his freakout parties. And it turns out that the Maui police chief's in charge of the Las Vegas shooting, the Maui fire, and is a security official for P. Diddy. Don't believe me? Play a video for me, Heather.
Explosive allegations against Maui County Police Chief John Pelletier. A lawsuit claims that he was a dirty cop while working for rapper Sean Diddy Combs 7 years ago. Pelletier is denying all of the allegations, but Maui's mayor is asking the police commission to put him on leave until this case is resolved. Our Eddie Dowd has the story.
In the nearly 90-page civil lawsuit filed by Ashley Parham and two unnamed people, Maui Police Chief John Pelletier is accused of being hired security for Sean Diddy Combs in 2018. It claims Pelletier, who was a Las Vegas police captain, posed as a sheriff deputy in California to respond to an alleged gang rape involving Combs. The alleged victim claims Pelletier told her to go home but offered no help or medical care. The woman claims Pelletier gave her an envelope to a neighbor which she believed to be full of cash. She claims Pelletier later took her and another plaintiff at gunpoint to his home, restrained them, and refused to let them call an attorney and made various moves to cover up the kidnapping. The Maui Police Department said in a statement, Chief Pelletier has no connections to anyone in the lawsuit. The allegations are unfounded and false, and the plaintiffs are spreading misleading narratives. But Maui County Mayor Richard Bisson has requested that the Maui County Police Commission puts the chief on administrative leave during the investigation, saying, This approach does not constitute a presumption of guilt, but ensures that the individual in question is not in a position that may compromise the integrity of the office while the matter is under review. Retired HPD Deputy Chief John McCarthy believes it's too early to suspend Pelletier.
It's outside the jurisdiction of the Maui County officials, so it would be a difficult thing because of location, for one, to look at. It doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. You know, people like to drag people with a name through something like this. They're making allegations that need to be proven in a court.
The Maui Police Commission will now have to vote on whether to place Pelletier on leave. The next meeting has not been announced. Eddie Dowd, Hawaii News Now.
Again, the coincidences just keep lining up. So you have Pelletier, who's a captain over the Las Vegas Police Department, and that's all undeniable. And then, of course, he's now the police chief, and he oversees the shooting that none of us have any answers to after all of these years. Not one answer about, wouldn't we know eventually about who was the shooter, what was the motives behind it, all the suspicious evidence that seemed to be kind of covered up? I mean, we know absolutely nothing about that case because, lo and behold, Johnny was over the investigation. Now we have no idea what really happened there. No idea whatsoever. Maybe it was a leftist trying to stir up, as we know, as that happens all the time, a leftist committing a shooting so that it instigates the Democratic Party to start initiating gun control, various gun control initiatives. We know that. That happens all the time. You know, commit a shooting and then get the leftists all, because we all know that's the Soros agenda. That's the globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist agenda, is to defang the tiger, pull the guns out of our hands so we're very easily conquered. I.e., we look just like Canada. I.e., we look just like Australia. So you stir up, you have a massive shooting, which instigates Democrats to go out there and start trying to bring in the red flag laws, to legislate gun control, whatever it may be. So lo and behold, we have absolutely no answers to that shooting at all after all of these years. And Johnny was there. And now here it is. What was it? August 8th, 2023. We had the Maui fires. And 500, Aaron's giving me the stats. 581 days later after the Las Vegas shooting. Is that what that is?
No, today.
From what? What
from the fires to today.
Okay, yeah. See if you can find the Las Vegas shooting stuff, because I know it's more than that. So 581 days from the fire. So I think Aaron said October, August 8th, 23, or is it October?
August 8th, 2023 for the fires, and then October 1st, 2017 for the shooting.
Yeah, so here we are almost eight years later on the shooting, and 7.5 years later, no answers whatsoever. And then, you know, basically a good 2 years later after the fire, no answers at all, and nobody's moved back in their homes, nobody's rebuilt, and Johnny was in charge of both. It's weird that he was actually, because as a captain, he was in charge of that shooting there. We have no idea who else worked the investigation in Las Vegas. And now, lo and behold, he's possibly, allegedly, which this will be very easy to trace. Very easy to trace. It's weird because if he was really innocent, why are they trying to put him on leave? Because obviously he has probably floated that idea to them. Put me on leave right now, because he probably never thought anybody would ever recognize me. Again, this is all allegations, but it isn't a lawsuit. And the person who's filed this lawsuit is under penalty of perjury if this all turns out to be lies. And again, this is going to be very easily proven or disproven, because there is you know, a paper trail of especially security. If you're a security guard, you have to be certified to be a security guard. It's going to be employment papers. He was obviously paid. He was either paid by Sean Combs or he was paid by a security company. And he was involved in, again, allegedly, then the complaint is Ashley Perron is the complainant in this lawsuit. He was allegedly involved in the cover-up of a rape. Now, why would anybody want to cover up rape? Because if you are a CIA asset, Mossad asset, MI6 asset, State Department asset, NGO asset, as P. Diddy Combs obviously was, from somebody. We all know that. And then, again, once these people know too much where they can expose their benefactors, i.e. Jeffrey Epstein, they are suicided. And then, because Combs was doing this stuff for years and years and years, and nobody cared at all, and everybody knew about it. Every single person knew about it. It's just like Cindy McCain talking years in advance about Epstein. Everybody knew about Epstein, did nothing about it. So, and lo and behold, once they get to be where your benefactors are vulnerable, then you're either going to be disappeared, suicided, prosecuted, put in prison for the rest of your life, which is what they're trying to do with Sean Combs. And as Dave Chappelle said, Sean Combs is facing a racketeering charge, a RICO charge, alone. That's very unusual to face a racketeering charge by yourself. It's usually a criminal organization. But anyway, Pelletier allegedly was one of his security guards, and he covered up a rape. Why would they want to cover up rape? To keep this extortion racket going. Because this is a honeypot racket, and you don't want it exposed, again, for your benefactors, which is the globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist. You know, again, the global cabal that's going on, and what they want to do is leverage everybody. You know, they use leverage against people, i.e. honeypotting money, sex with children, whatever it is, Jeffrey Epstein style, so that then they have leverage over you for the rest of your life, and you will vote the way they want you to vote. You'll vote the way they want you to vote. You'll say what they want you to say. You'll do what they want you to do and all those different things. So anyway, he allegedly covers up this rape. Again, to keep, because if Combs gets exposed at the wrong time, then it exposes all of Combs' benefactors and ruins their operation, their honeypot operation. Because as has already been stated, there were high-level politicians and celebrities at these freak-off parties, whatever it was. So, again, if you have this girl come out, and allegedly he posed as an L.A. deputy to come in and basically sort of like take the rape report. Not really take it, but tell her it's no big deal and you just need to go home. And there's other things that he did to cover up, allegedly. So we'll see. It's going to be a very easy trail. And I'll tell you what, if Pelletier is over the Maui fires, over the Las Vegas shooting that we have no answers to, and ends up being a security guard with Sean P. Diddy Combs, okay, there's really no denying that what we have going on, which I don't deny it at all anyway, a global cabal going on to leverage us into a one-world commerce system, because the purpose of the LA fires and the Maui fires is to rebuild those cities as smart 15-minute cities. All right, let's go to Trump now. All right, government exec is corrupt video. So Donald Trump, okay, this is Donald Trump versus Doug Ford. So Doug Ford in charge. Doug Ford is the, what do they call him?
Premier.
Aaron? Premier, thank you, Aaron. Yep. Premier. Over Ontario. So he's the premier, basically a governor over one of their states. So in Ontario is the most populous state. And for some strange reason, I'm trying to remember which states it is. It's Michigan's one of them, maybe Wisconsin. I know Michigan and Minnesota are two of the three that for some reason, what idiot decided to have Canada supply electricity to American citizens? What idiot signs these things? Again, we all know the answer to it. And everybody watch this podcast, you know what I'm about to say. What it was is simply this. It was some NGO funded by us that's fully staffed by Democrats receiving multi-million dollar salaries that orchestrate this deal. Here's a good idea. Probably some sort of climate title. And, you know the Canadian-American Green Corp or whatever it may be. And it's, you know, an NGO. And they orchestrate this deal. I don't know any of that. I'm just saying, who else would? Who in the world would conscript our energy needs to a foreign country? I don't care if they're an ally or not. But Donald Trump, I'll show you the truth social post. He says basically the same thing. So we have this little war now. So Dougie is one of those guys who wants to be a true man. He never has been. He never will be. but he likes to play the part. It's just like that little crying moron. Remember that guy who wears the backward hat, makes statements that he's linked to the military and that he's called coach, whatever. And he was bawling his brains out because of how Trump advanced treated Zelensky in the Oval Office. A guy who his whole life he wants to be a guy who fought in a war. He wants to be that guy. He wants to be the guy that played football or is an MMA fighter or whatever. He never has been, but he plays the role of that guy in public. That's the kind of guy that Doug Ford is. Does Doug Ford have any testicular fortitude at all? No. But he likes to play like he is. And the problem is you need to watch, be very careful about what tree you bark up. Because Donald Trump does have great testicular fortitude. Donald Trump is a street fighter. So here comes Dougie. And he's basically saying, you're going to tariff us, we're going to tariff you. So here's what Dougie said. Play for me.
And joining us now is Doug Ford, the premier of Canada's most populous territory, Ontario. And Premier Ford, as we mentioned, President Trump is now saying he is enacting a 50% tariff on steel and aluminum from Canada, which will go into effect tomorrow in response to your actions. What's your reaction?
Well, Anna, first of all, thank you for having me on. I start every interview with saying we love Americans. I love Americans, spent 20 years of my life there. And I know Canadians love Americans and vice versa. In saying that, we will not back down. We will be relentless. I apologize to the American people.
So let's all remember that statement. We will not back down. We are going to be relentless. All right, let's go to the next one. Lives with TikTok video. Ontario Premier Doug Ford warns we might turn off all the electricity. Play for me, Heather.
Let me be clear. I will not hesitate to increase this charge. If necessary, if the United States escalates, I will not hesitate to shut the electricity off completely. Believe me when I say I do not want to do this. I feel terrible for the American people because it's not the American people who started this trade war. It's one person who's responsible. That's President Trump. I'd rather be working together. I want to sell the U.S. more energy, more electricity, more critical minerals. I want to make Canada and the United States the richest, most successful, safest, most secure two countries on the planet. But as Premier, my number one job is to protect the people of Ontario and in hand protect the people of Canada. I will do whatever it takes. I will fight like I've never fought before to protect Ontario.
So remember, he will not back down. He will fight like nobody's business. He'll fight like he's never fought before. Doug has never fought a day in his life. Ever fought a day in his life. I guarantee his wife controls him like he's on a leash. Never fought a day in his life. All right, so here's what Trump had to say. Donald Trump, Truth Social post. Why would our country allow another country to supply us with electricity, even for a small area? And by the way, word has it from electric officials in the United States of America is that these are simply supplemental electricity sources from Canada. In that, if Doug Ford, I won't hesitate to shut it all off. If you shut it off, it really doesn't affect them that much. It's basically like shutting off your windmills. And can you imagine Canada stooping so low as to use electricity that so affects the life of innocent people as a bargaining chip and threat? They will pay a financial price for this so big that it will be read about in the history books for many years to come. All right, so go to the next one for me. So here's what Donald Trump said. Based on Ontario, Canada's placing a 25% tariff on electricity, coming to the United States, I've instructed my Secretary of Commerce to add an additional 25% tariff to 50% on steel and aluminum. By the way, we don't need their steel. We don't need their aluminum. If we do these things, remember, we give Canada $200 billion a year that we don't have to, that we aren't required to give them. We don't, what I'm trying to figure out the exact verbiage. We don't need the products that we're buying. We're buying them like you buy Girl Scout cookies from your daughter.
Right.
You don't need them. You can go buy better cookies at the store. You're better off. You can go get the dough and just make your own chocolate chip cookies. And they're way better. You're like, Tom, you sound like a good connoisseur. I am. Especially chocolate chip. You tell by looking at me. But anyway, so I mean, you buy them because it's your daughter. And she's a Girl Scout, so you buy them, all right?
Charity.
Yeah, charity, right there. Yeah, they sum it up. Aaron's your charity, it's your kid. Or you pay your kid an allowance. They don't really do anything except for bare minimum, but you pay them an allowance. And that's basically what we're doing with Canada. It's not to belittle the Canadian people, it's to belittle the Canadian officials. If we don't give them that $200 billion that we simply give them out of the goodness of our heart and buy their products that we don't need, we don't need their cars. We don't need their steel. We don't need their aluminum. We don't need anything that they have. We simply buy it to be a good neighbor. So anyway, so and if we stop, their country's over. That's why Trump doesn't care. What's the percentage of our GDP that comes from Canada? What is it? 1%. Them and Mexico combined is like 1.8% of our GDP.
Yeah.
We are double digits in their GDPs, both countries. We don't care. We don't receive one item from Mexico. It'll not be a blip on your screen. How many of you are using Canadian products? And when you pull up your product, you go, oh, what's this? Oh, that was made in Canada. What? Which one? Nothing. I don't have one thing in my life that was made in Canada. Not one thing. Not one thing. So it doesn't hurt us. That's why Trump is able to do this. He knows it doesn't matter. He has all the leverage, as Trump is very fond of saying as of late. He has all the cards. He does. They don't have anything. They have no leverage. What, are they going to threaten 1% of our GDP in combination with Mexico? Even if they cut off all of their goods, it's less than 1% of our GDP. All right, so Trump says, I have instructed my Secretary of Commerce to add an additional 25% tariff to 50% on all steel and aluminum coming into the United States from Canada, one of the highest tariffing nations anywhere in the world. What's so funny about this is, just using milk as an example, they put on a 250% tariff on all of our dairy products, all of our milk products, going into Canada. Why is it suddenly unfair for us to put a 25% tariff on products? He's right. They're one of the highest or the highest tariffing country on the planet. Imagine being a Canadian citizen, because I'm obviously seeing a lot of conservatives, Canadian citizens, which are saying the rational thing, like if we tariff them, they should be able to tariff us. And then you got all these other idiots out there. We're being attacked. How are you being attacked when you've been tariffing us to the tune of 10 to 230, 250, 300%, and we're not tariffing you at all? How is it unfair for us to tariff you back? Or just, you know, here's an interesting concept, Darren. Why don't we just have no tariffs? You don't tariff us. We don't tariff you. How's that? Yeah. Because then they don't get their full $200 billion.
Yep.
And then you have to actually be fiscally responsible and actually have a functioning capitalistic democracy instead of a controlled, we have penetrated the cabinets, WEF socialist country, which is what Canada is. So Trump says up to 50% tariffs on steel and aluminum coming into the United States from Canada, one of the highest tariffing nations anywhere in the world. This will go into effect tomorrow morning, March 12th. Also, Canada must immediately drop their anti-American farmer tariff of 250 to 390% tariffs on various U.S. dairy products. So imagine being a leftist like Chrystia Freeland, who's the new prime minister of Canada, Carney, is the godfather of her child.
Yeah.
And she ran against him. That all giant set up? Of course it was. He's installed. Didn't even live in Canada most of his life. But suddenly, and nobody's even heard of him in Canada, but he got like 80% of the leftist vote. So the farmer tariff on 250 to 390% of various U.S. dairy products, which has long been considered outrageous. I will shortly be declaring a national emergency on electricity within the threatened area. This will allow the U.S. to quickly do what has to be done to alleviate this abusive threat from Canada. If other egregious long-time tariffs are not likewise dropped by Canada, I will substantially increase on April 2nd the tariffs on cars coming in the U.S., which will essentially permanently shut down the automobile manufacturing business in Canada. By the way, that statement is absolutely true. If he increases steel and automobile tariffs, it's over for Canada. They will go into a depression. And they know it. What will happen to us? Nothing. 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 Well, what about the people with electricity? I'm telling you, the supplemental electricity. It's not really overly needed. It can be easily replaced. Simple as that. That's why Trump can just keep doing whatever he wants to do. All right, where the heck am I? Okay, that was that one. That was the
pleb reporter.
Okay, awesome. So after all of this happened, let's bring Dougie back out, shall we? Remember, big nut Dougie? He wants to fight Donald Trump. You know, just like the choose your fighter video for the Democrats.
Ugh.
He wants to fight Trump, right? Okay, well, after all of this was said and done, in about a 12-hour period of time, here comes Chubby Dougie back out to the podium. Play it for me.
Well, just a little while ago, I had an opportunity to speak to Secretary Lutnick. And Secretary Lutnick has sent out an olive branch to us to come down and immediately meet with him, meet with the whole trade administration, and discuss the future. Rather than waiting till April the 2nd, threats going back and forth, tit for tat, I've agreed to suspend temporarily, and we always have that tool in our toolkit, until we sit down over the next day or two. I'll be heading down to Washington along with Dominic LeBlanc, and we'll have a good discussion.
Hey, Aaron, do me a favor, mute the video and just play it side by side, because I want everyone to see the look on this guy's face, because you can always tell when somebody has been neutered behind the scenes. See that look on his face? remember the fervency from before, the blustering bombacity of before. Remember that? You know, we will not back down. You know, we will shut off all the, he was so happy with himself because he finally got to be a man. You know, all these guys with these, you know, security officers all around them all the time. Saw a video with Brandon Johnson walking through Chicago like Mr. Bad Butt because he's surrounded by 5 security officers. I've never spent one day being a man in their whole life, and either's Chubby Dougie. So
that's great.
So you look at his face. This is a guy who behind the scenes was told, you better freaking stop what you're doing. If you have seen what I see on social media, all the Canadian citizens are coming out and saying, you know what? We're finished without the United States, but they're not finished without us. So in other words, in Trump's words, they have all the cards. We don't. So somebody got with, see, look on his face. You know it. This is just like when you make your son apologize to your daughter. You know, you make them make up. This look they have on their face right here. Somebody behind the scenes has got to Chubby Dougie and said, you know what, Chubby Dougie, you need to. And he's lying, saying Luknick reached out to him. That's what they told him to say, so that they can save face. But Chubby Dougie knows that he absolutely screwed the pooch. He knows that he did. And he got it behind the scenes. Probably Carney got with him and said, hey, listen, you want to continue to be the premier of Ontario? Then you're going to stop this right now because we can't afford this. So here comes Chubby Dougie out to the podium. And now he's going to, now listen, if you were the power player, who would go to who? If you were the power player, who traveled? Did we travel to Ukraine, or did the cocaine snorter come to us? Zelensky, now where is Chubby Dougie going? He's going to D.C. If he was the power player, we'd be going to him. It's not Luknick reached out to him. They begged Luknick to be able to say that. That's why he looks the way he looked. Where's all that? Where's all that courage? Where's all that fervency in his face? It's gone. All right, let's go to the next one. We can spend all night on that. All right, Fox News tweet. Breaking, nearly half of the Department of Education, look at the dates from today, of education staff set to be eliminated imminently. Kate, we never seen anything like this. This is George Washington style stuff. You're like, Tom, you're talking about the Revolutionary War. Folks, we're almost $37 trillion in debt. We need an absolute fiscal revolution. We're finished. We'll be as finished as if we were conquered by the British. Trump is doing everything that he possibly can do to fiscally save this country. So half of the Department of Education is fixing to be fired. Of course, it's going to be some sort of temporary injunction when the Democrats, Norm Eisen goes around. Because remember, Norm Eisen is in charge of all of these little lawsuits that you're seeing going on right now. These little injunctions, these temporary injunctions that then get extenuated into longer term injunctions, but eventually will be overturned by the SCOTUS in some form or fashion. Norm Eisen is behind all of that stuff. So anyway, so half of the Department of Education is set to be cut imminently. Well, again, you have to ask yourself this question. What has the Department of Education ever done for me? Absolutely nothing. Thousands upon thousands of people worked there. Again, using USAID as an example, 14,000 people worked at USAID, and they're working it right now with 300 people. Again, this is just like Twitter with Elon. He goes in and fires 80% of the staff, and Twitter's way better than it was when they had 100% staffing, according to whatever their bogus staffing requirements were. All right, go to the next one for me. Robert the Builder tweet, Department of Education, offices were just ordered to begin to be vacated at 6 p.m. today through Thursday. I mean, this is serious. This is, and again, you see all of these people, they put out these talking points. They put out these tropes. We all want waste, fraud, and abuse to be eliminated in the federal government, but nobody ever does anything about it. They never actually do anything about it. Trump's actually doing anything about it. And the very people that say that they want waste, fraud, and abuse eliminated are now crying about waste, fraud, and abuse being eliminated. because they're all just liars who want the status quo, because once again, they're all receiving money from the NGOs that you and I are funding that are fully staffed by Democrats, who hire Democrat party law firms, hire Democratic Party speakers, form other NGOs out of their NGO money, finance the campaigns of Democratic Party officials and leftist officials across the globe, fund Reuters, fund the New York Times, fund circumcisions in Mozambique and Muppet shows in Iraq. And a lot of that stuff, when you hear Muppet shows in Iraq, I bet you right now the Muppet show never actually existed. It went to actually fund terrorism in Iraq. Was that what actually happened? All right, let's go to the next one. Mario Nafal video. Department of Health offers 25,000. This is, now we're talking about HHS now. HHS. What RFK Jr. is over. Department of Health offers $25,000 buyouts to employees as part of a federal workforce, as part of the federal workforce cuts. Play for me.
We have two big breaking news stories on the health front this hour. NBC News reporting every employee at Health and Human Services, that's 80,000 people, getting an email offering them a buyout to quit their jobs. Also, the CDC announcing the agency will investigate potential links between vaccines and autism. So joining me right now, we have NBC News health and medical news reporter Erica Edwards. First up, let's go to what we know about this buy offer. What have you heard?
Yeah, so the HHS employees last night got this email, an unsigned email, offering them to basically walk away from their jobs for a lump sum of $25,000. Now, I can tell you that from folks I've talked with folks within HHS and with other, scientists at other federal agencies like the National Institutes of Health, they say that offers like this are quite frankly insulting. And they're also wary that they would ever even see a penny of that money. They have until next Friday to respond to this email. However, I can also tell you that a lot of doctors and scientists that I've talked with at the federal level have already been looking for other jobs. They are just not convinced that their job is even going to be there in the coming years.
Hey, so what's the government expecting here? All 80,000 are getting this letter. And by the way, why not signed? Is there any chance this was a mistake? It seems extraordinary that the entire department is getting this letter.
Boy, I wish I were. I knew who sent the letter. We've seen the government sort of flip-flop on some of these offers. So who knows? Was it a mistake? Wasn't a mistake. They can always sort of go back and rescind that offer. And I think that's what really leaves the employees unsettled. Who is sending this letter? Exactly.
First thing, all of them, basically every government official is getting those letters because they're looking, they're hoping to get 10, 15% compliance. The 10 to 15% will actually leave. And then they're going to fire a whole bunch of others. But we have to, again, ask ourselves, just like with the Department of Education, does the Department of Education have anything to do with your local school? Absolutely nothing. The only thing the Department of Education has to do with your local schools is anything that's actually crappy, like DEI. So basically what the Department of Education does is local, is leverage local school boards and say, here's a lump of money. But in order for you to get this lump of money, you've got to teach that gay is okay. Transgenderism is okay. You've got to have a health teacher putting a condom over a cucumber in a second grader's class. All of that is what the Department of Education does. So absolutely useless. They're absolutely useless. Again, ask yourself the question, what has HHS ever done for you? They were wrong. They've been wrong about everything. They were wrong about AIDS. They were wrong about COVID. They're wrong about the bird flu. They're wrong about the Delta variant, the Omicron variant, the Alpha variant. They're wrong about everything. Wrong about masks. Wrong about vaccines. Wrong about social distancing. Wrong about alcohol gel. Wrong about everything. What have they ever done? These people, this is insulting. How is it insulting for you as an employee when you've accomplished nothing? I mean, really, you have to look at your life and say, I've accomplished nothing. What do you do all day? And ask yourself, what does an HHS employee do all day? They don't do anything for us. There's 80,000 of them. Get that, Aaron, 80,000 of them.
Yeah.
What do they do? Nothing. I've never seen an HHS employee. They've never played a significant role in my life. I've never even seen one. I've never met one. I've never seen them come through in a time of need. They're as useless as FEMA. FEMA does nothing. To this day, FEMA's done nothing in Appalachia. Christy Noem had to come in and do everything. They didn't do a thing. They said they went there, set up a card table, and handed out flyers in Appalachia, in Western North Carolina, in Tennessee, in Alabama. They did nothing. HHS does nothing except be wrong all the time. These people are so, and they're like, well, we have some serious skepticism that we'll even receive the $25,000. Oh, really? That's just feigning skepticism. So it can deflect from what's really going on. And the fact is, what's really going on is that you're useless and you're being exposed as being useless because you've never done anything for an American. And again, really, even in these government agencies that form these NGOs are actually NGOs in and of themselves. Because it's just like USAID. What was the percentage of Republicans that work for USAID? Can anybody remember? 2%. 98% of USAID employees donated to Democratic Party candidates. So again, this is the government itself is an NGO. Everything's an NGO. You're like, Tom, you're losing it. No, but it's true. Everything really for us is all of our taxpayer dollars, and not only our taxpayer dollars, but our kids' taxpayer dollars, our grandkids' taxpayer dollars, our great-grandkids' taxpayer dollars, our great-great-grandkids' dollars, our great-great-great-grandkids' taxpayer dollars are paying for these NGOs, but the NGOs are actually formed by government NGOs, which is like HHS. It's just a giant salary payer for Democrats. That's all it is. Doesn't do anything for us. Oh, have you ever once said, you know what, I'm going to call up HHS? Ever? Why do we have 80,000 employees? What have they ever done? All right, let's go to the next one. Mario Nafal video. Elon, the Treasury was basically issuing untraceable blank checks. Play it for me.
What's happening is Treasury, which is improving rapidly, the main payments computer is called PAM. That's responsible for almost $5 trillion of payments a year, roughly $1 billion an hour. And when we came there, we're looking at the PAM, and it's like the payments have no. You could put a payment through with no payment categorization code, and no description on the payment, like basically untraceable blank checks. This is the kind of thing that if it was done as a public company, the company would be immediately delisted and the executive team would be thrown in prison. But this is just normal at the government. So we said, okay, our recommendation to the Treasury and the Federal Reserve is like we need to make the payment categorization codes mandatory, not optional, and there needs to be an explanation. We're not judging the quality of the explanation, but there should be some explanation for what this payment is for above nothing. That's a radical change to the system that is being implemented now. My guess is that probably saves $100 billion a year.
Right in the middle of the video, Aaron was saying, because his wife used to do it, that if you did this, where you have a payment system, we're talking about felonious crimes. If Aaron and I decide to print money, we're both going to federal prison for years. But the government does it all the time. Through the Fed, they do it all the time. The Federal Reserve is a felonious operation. They print money. It's counterfeit. It's supposed to go, they just basically print money. They leverage the system to print money. And in the system here, this is what Aaron was talking about. If you run a company, you have to categorize and you have to code your expenditures because it all has to do with taxation. It has to do with taxation of your employees. It has to do with whatever permits you have. It has to do with whatever licensing you have. All of those different things, you have to actually categorize and code your payment system. But at the Treasury, where they're writing checks for $5 trillion a year, no code, no description. So they just write a check to snacks for $474 billion. Snacks. That's all they were doing. You're like, Tom, you're that's hyperbolic. It's not hyperbolic. Elon Musk said that they were writing checks that had absolutely no traceable code, so we have no idea where it went, and no description on the check at all. And these aren't checks like you had back in the old days. Remember the old checks we used to have the duplicates? Where you'd put the little piece of like carbon behind your check, and you write the check, and then you got like a carbon. No, there's no carbon copies of these things. This is the digital age. And most of these are probably wire transfers, not actually checks. So they definitively have to have a code on them and a description because a lot of them are wire transfers. And they aren't. I'm wondering what banks are actually facilitating these transfers of money. I'm really wondering what banks are actually facilitating these transactions. Unbelievable. And again, if this was a private company, it's like Gavin Newsom. When Gavin Newsom took over California, they had a $20 billion budget surplus. They're now $70 billion in the hole. And Matt, and again, he gets elected over and over again. How are these? And he starts a podcast as if he is a man of respect, an admired man, a reverent man. He's, what are you? You're a complete, utter failure. I mean, we all want the quarterback on our team to be replaced when he loses a couple games. But and the Democrats want those quarterbacks replaced too, because they're going to the same games and everything else. But yet, for their politicians, you all going to California. And if you've ever been to California, it is the most beautiful state there is. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. You take that, and I think it's the third largest economy, third or fourth largest economy on the planet, and you can't even manage that. Someone hands you $20 billion budget surplus, and you turn it into a $70 billion budget deficit in a short period of time. I'm telling you, these people could not manage a hot dog stand in NYC. I'm telling you. With a $50,000 a year budget, they couldn't manage it. Here's another good one for you. Peter St. Ange video. Trump is selling 443 major federal buildings. Play it for me.
Donald Trump wants to sell 443 federal buildings, including nearly a fifth of all the office space in Washington, D.C. And all that up to 80 million square feet of bureaucrat habitat. That's 12 times the size of the Pentagon and comparable to all the office space in San Francisco or Boston. The reason is these buildings are largely empty. Just 6% of federal workers come to the office every day, and a third are fully remote. Yet the buildings cost over $430 million a year to maintain and require over $8 billion in repairs because the feds raid every piggy bank, even their own. Toss in hundreds of thousands of federal layoffs thanks to DOGE, and the buildings just are not needed. The list of properties was posted by the GSA, the federal government's real estate manager, last week, then temporarily taken down since some agencies complained they hadn't been informed. Of course, agencies don't actually own buildings, the American people do, but I guess Trump wanted to be nice. Interestingly, the list is very top-heavy with headquartered buildings. In fact, 1 in 12 agency headquarters were on the list to be auctioned, including, deliciously, the FBI headquarters named after noted secret police J. Edgar Hoover, as well as the largely empty headquarters of the Departments of Labor, Agriculture, HHS, and HUD. Plus the Nancy Pelosi Federal Building in San Francisco, which looks like a Jawa crawler on Tatooine and is twice as expensive. The headquarter fetish suggests they might be going much bigger. After all, the federal government owns precisely 263,000 buildings, so if they auction 1 in 12 of those, it could be tens of thousands of federal buildings turned over to become something useful. Office, housing, an indoor mall, senior community, perhaps a circus. Of course, it's not just the buildings they own. The federal government also leases at least 144 million square feet of office space. That's two Bostons at a cost of $5 billion of your tax dollars. DOGE has already cut about 100 million of these with another 400 million planned, but it takes time as leases run out. And finally, the big one, land. Nationwide, the federal government hogs up 640 million acres of land. It's almost three times the size of Texas and 27% of all the land in America. Much of this it neglects into wildfires, illegal marijuana operations, or dogfighting camps in the Everglades, not a joke. In some states, it owns most of the land. The federal government owns over half of Oregon, two-thirds of Idaho and Utah, in case you wonder why they're so expensive when nobody lives there. It owns almost 90% of Nevada. So 640 million acres conservatively is worth between $1.5 and $2 trillion, and auctioning it could create hundreds of little towns across some of the most pleasant parts of the country. Instead, it is kindling for LA's next wildfire. So what's next? Brought to you by Unchained.com. Putting dead federal assets to use will be great for the economy, a nationwide boom of affordable offices for startups, even affordable housing. Given those new tenants and residents actually pay city taxes, unlike the feds, it'll be a godsend for cities that are already desperate for housing. The one loser will be banks sitting on hundreds of billions in distressed real estate loans the Fed is dutifully bailing out, which could soon get competition from freed up federal assets. Even while the American taxpayer gets to offload yet another trillion-dollar monkey on our backs. Okay, we'll be...
All right, so there you go. Just a couple of the stats off of that. I won't stay on it too long because, I mean, it couldn't have been any more comprehensive than what St. Ange did. But Trump is selling 443 major federal buildings, including 1 in 12 agency headquarters. Again, why do we even need all these headquarters? There are a bunch of people who do nothing. Tom, that's hyperbolic. Really, outside of the military? I mean, the FBI does nothing. I mean, they don't do anything. What do? You know, 100,000 Americans a year die of fentanyl poisoning. They do absolutely nothing except arrest people with MAGA hats on. That's all that they do, or pro-lifers under the FACE Act, and put them in prison for 3 years for doing absolutely nothing. So, I mean, again, J. Edgar Hoover building is being sold. Good. The FBI doesn't do anything. What Trump really needs to attack is that, you know, the FBI was budgeted for their next giant, I can't remember what the cost was, astronomical cost for their new building. Trump needs to find that, cancel it, and put them in like portables somewhere. That's what he needs to do. Or shove them in one of these other older buildings that's worse than J. Edgar Hoover building. But St. Ange puts it at the federal government owns 260,000 buildings. The federal government owns 260,000 buildings. Other people have it at 300,000 buildings. So let's just go with 300,000 buildings. Not only do they own 300,000 buildings, and again, what has that ever done for you? Absolutely nothing. But they also lease 114 million square feet worth of office space. Lease it. All of our federal government can't be squeezed into 300,000 buildings. I mean, you're like, Tom, it's got to be 30,000 buildings. No, it's 300,000 buildings. And I can't remember, Aaron figured it out. I think it's 6,000 buildings of a state.
Yep.
6,000 buildings a state? So there's 6,000 federal buildings in Vermont. You see what I'm saying? Aaron just sent me the Biden administration's fiscal year 2025 budget request proposed 3.5. Oh, my word. Why did I ask? Why did I even say it? $3.5 billion for the new FBI headquarters. Billion with a B. Trump needs to cancel that. I mean, I know that Cash Patel is awesome, but listen, we don't need to build that. They can just move back in the J. Edgar Hoover building. They'll be perfectly fine. But just imagine owning 300,000 buildings. You can't squeeze all of. And remember, only 6% of people are showing up. 6% of federal employees show up to work every day. 6%. 94% of federal employees don't show up or work remotely. A lot of them just flat out just don't show up and never work and never have worked. There's people receiving checks for doing absolutely nothing because they're Democrat. It's beneficial somehow or another for the Democratic Party. That's all our government is about. Trump received 5% of the vote in Washington, D.C., 5%. Joe Biden received 95% of the vote. And, of course, that's where all of Trump's trials are in D.C., right? Or, of course, NYC or Atlanta. Blue judges, blue jurisdictions. But that's all that our government's about. Our government is simply about facilitating money to themselves, which are all leftists. You're like, Tom, listen, you ever looked into who Tom Cotton is? For real? Who he is? Because we're like, what about Republicans? Well, the very few Republicans are actually conservative. They're actually really are leftists who say just enough right-wing things to get elected and then legislate as a leftist. It's all on purpose. I mean, it's just a sabotage of the conservative movement. It's conservative infiltration. That's all that these people are. Because again, why does nothing get done until you actually have an outsider come in? But anyway, so you can't squeeze yourself into 300,000 buildings. So you lease another 114 million square feet of office space, which is two Bostons. They own 300,000 buildings that nobody comes to. 6% of the workforce actually goes there. And that's not good enough. You have to go and lease two Bostons. What for? Again, none of this, people are like, well, it's just waste, fraud, and abuse. No, well, none of it is waste. We can take that out now. It's fraud and abuse. It's absolute fraud. Because what they do is say that they're renting buildings, but actually giving the money somewhere else. That's actually what's happening because all funds, of course, are fungible. I mean, 90% of Nevada is owned by the federal government. Anybody know that? The federal government owns 27% of the land in America, three times the size of Texas. It's time for our federal government to be brought to heel. Let's go to the next one. All right, Rochelle Marin video. In spite of Joe Biden slaughtering, it keeps going up. At first, it was 100 million chickens. Then it was 101 million chickens that he slaughtered. Why would you kill 100 million chickens for the bird flu? And everybody knows how that works, right? I never got into the bird flu. I have another bird flu expose, but I haven't got to it yet. Is it really? Is it this late? Wow. But anyway, why would you cull chickens? Because of the bird flu. What you actually do if you talk to a chicken farmer or a veterinarian is you allow the chickens, because most chickens will survive the bird flu. Why are you killing them? Because once they survive the bird flu, they, of course, form a herd immunity over, that's a popular term these days, herd immunity, that it becomes genetically founded and passed on to the next generation. But instead, you just kill off all the chickens because, of course, they want to usher in bird flu vaccinations. They want to usher in food shortages, so you have to run to the government, so you get your government stipend. And if you get your government stipend, then your behavior is controlled by the government. But anyway, a Rochelle Marin video, in spite of Joe Biden slaughtering, now it's up to 166 million chickens now. Before he left office, the price of eggs are cheaper than when Trump, are now cheaper than when Trump took office. Play for me.
We're more focused on how we bring the price of eggs down and the avian bird flu for everyone. A good piece of news we just got in the last day or two is that the average cost of a dozen eggs has now gone down $1.85 since we announced our plan about a week and a half ago on February the 26th. So listen, we're going into Easter season. This is always the highest price for eggs.
So Trump is taking away their talking points. You go to the next one for me, just side by side it. Kyle Becker tweet. Inflation is down. Gas prices are down. That's all a fact. Look at the charts. All are down. Indisputable. Egg prices are down. Gas prices are down. Because, I mean, here, remember at all these press conferences with Caroline Leavitt, you'll hear the AP reporter that she shut down today. You'll hear all these other reporters from MSNBC, CBS, whatever, wherever they come from, CNN. And they'll say, you know, Trump said on day one that he was going to lower prices. He never meant literally day one, by the way. But they keep saying, since he took office, inflation is the same. Egg prices are the same. Gas prices are the same. He isn't doing anything. Well, now, if you notice now in the last couple of press conferences, nobody has come up and put out that Democratic Party propaganda because, you know, it's no longer true. They're slowly but surely going down. And I thought the tariffs are going to drive up all the prices. I thought the threat of tariffs would drive up all the prices, including gas. It has not, because they don't. Remember, we didn't, for many years in the United States of America, we did not have an IRS. We had an ERS, where we received all of our revenue from external sources, not from internal sources and taxing American citizens. You just simply bought and sold, and you had a capitalistic society, not 40% of your check stolen by the federal government to fund NGOs that fund other NGOs. Because once again, these DHSs and HHSs and all of them are simply NGOs in and of themselves, even though they're part of the federal government that form other NGOs and they're 100% staffed by leftists. And we're supposed to be, we're obviously supposed to be a constitutional federalist republic, but we're actually staffed by leftists. Let's go to the next one. Another Rochelle Marin video. DNI Tulsi Gabbard has just revoked security clearances and barred access to classified information from at New York State. Letitia James. Now, why? This is one of the lists. Norm Eisen was on that list and others. Perkins Coie is on that list. Numerous people have been barred from classified information. Why would you do that to sweet Letitia? Play for me.
He's called me venomous.
We will fight back to your attempt to bring Trumpism to New York City.
He's called me disgraceful.
Of the fact that they stole the Supreme Court seat.
Called me radical.
Listen, yes. We know he's crazy. Yes. We know he doesn't have a sound mind. Yes. We know he's out of control. Yes. We know he's losing it. Yes. We know his days are numbered and we will come together.
He's called me a racist.
We've got to stand up to an administration which is too male, too pale, and too stale.
Thank you.
Imagine if you were to flip that script. I wonder why she's getting her wonder why it is that she's getting access to classified information. I wonder why it is that she's getting her security clearance banned. I wonder why she's getting her security clearance revoked. I wonder why it is. Imagine you stand up there and you reverse that and you said, you know, she's saying too male, too pale, too stale. Imagine if you flip that in any way, shape, or form. And that she calls you and I a racist when she says too male, too pale, too stale. Because the actual racists are the people calling you a racist. All right, let's go to Ukraine because we have the latest video from Volodymyr Zelensky's recruiting, which, by the way, I didn't even go over it very much, but it was in the pregame. But, of course, we have the tacit agreement to a ceasefire on the Ukrainian end so far. The Russians have not agreed to it yet. That was orchestrated by Marco Rubio in Saudi Arabia with Volodymyr Zelensky. So that has been agreed upon. They have the basic infrastructure for a ceasefire that Ukraine has agreed to, but now they got to go and try to convince Putin to go along with it. But in the meantime, we have more recruiting going on in Ukraine. Remember what J.D. Vance said when he jumped all over Zelensky because of his arrogant, dismissive, petulant behavior. He said, you know, you really have no right to have this attitude because you're having to conscript soldiers. In other words, force people up to the front lines. And I call it Ukrainian recruiting. So here's another Ukrainian recruitment video. Play for me. All right, so there you go. For everybody that's always shouting Slava Ukraine, and this is the wonderful democracy of Ukraine that all the Democrats are fighting for, and you are immoral if you dare even question the virtue of Ukraine, question the virtue of the second coming of Winston Churchill. Who's the saint that Pelosi said?
St. Patrick.
St. Patrick, second coming of St. Patrick, as Pelosi said about Volodymyr Zelensky, who has banned all opposition media, who has banned elections, banned all opposition parties, and banned the Russian Orthodox Church out of his country. And now these are the recruiting. I could play an hour straight of these recruiting videos. I could play 3 hours straight of them. Right there in front of their kid, you are going to be conscripted. You'll get about a day of training and sent to the front lines to be cannon fodder for the Russians. That's it. I mean, you're talking about 1 million Ukrainians are dead because of Boris Johnson, because of Joe Biden, because the war was going to be over in 5 days. Volodymyr Zelensky agreed to it. Vladimir Putin agreed to it simply on the agreement that Ukraine would not enter into NATO. But what did Jake Sullivan say? We have an open door policy at NATO. So now you got this. And this guy will be, you know, people are dying every day by the thousands in this war, hundreds, thousands, whatever it is. Lots of people are dying every day in this war. And it could be this guy could be already dead by now. They just throw him in the front lines as cannon fodder for the Russians. And here's the thing. Let's go to the next one. Clandestine video. This is how they train Americans. Have you ever asked yourself, and I know this doesn't apply to 12 that are watching right now, doesn't apply to us who are red-pilled. But do you ever ask yourself why is it that we hate Russia? I mean, ask yourself this. Who has encroached on who? Who has encroached on who? Russia has never moved to the West. Have they in your lifetime? I mean, ask yourself. I mean, you have Crimea. That was an annexation requested by the people of Crimea who are Russian speaking, just like this war is with Luhansk and Donetsk, the two breakout provinces along the eastern border between Russia and Ukraine. They requested Russia to come in and take over because they're tired of being molested by the Azov battalion. That's why. And being persecuted. And by the way, the 2014 war where you had Ukraine bombing Ukraine in the Donbass, in the Donetsk and Donetsk regions, bombing their own citizens because they're Russian speaking. Would you want to stay in that country if you were them? That's what this war is about. Just so you know, it's about having basically a demilitarized zone between NATO in Russia because NATO keeps encroaching on Russia. When is Russia encroached on them? Ever. But yet we're supposed to believe they're the bad guy. Tom, does that mean you're a fan of Putin? Not a fan of anybody. I'm more of a fan of Putin than I am Zelensky. Definitely. Putin still has an Orthodox church in his country. Does Zelensky? Absolutely not. Putin doesn't have a man with a taped up penis being his military spokesperson calling himself a woman. Zelensky does. And that person was an American. We used to play his videos all the time until he got so unpopular they had to take him down. Remove the guy from his position. But how do they train Americans, Mockingbird Media, to hate Russians? Here it is right here out of MSNBC. Clandestine video. This clip from MSNBC is the exact reason why so many Americans are unable to properly grasp the war in Ukraine. Play for me.
The person who's watching,
yes,
who just heard you say Donald Trump is not standing up for Ukraine. What do you say to the person who says, well, I don't care about Ukraine. I want Donald Trump to stand up for America. What do you say to them?
I don't know where you got that. I mean, I don't have time for it.
Yes, because, but we hear it.
Here's the thing. Where did you grow up? Did you grow up in a place where you thought the Russians were the good guys? What part of America did you grow up in where they taught you the Russians were the good guys and our allies were the bad guys? That's the flip here that we need to continue to remind people. The Russians are the bad guys. They're raping women. They're killing children. They're bombing cities. The Ukrainians are the noble good guys. In some ways, they're more American than we are over the last couple of years. And we must stand with them in the same way we stood with the allies in World War II and since this country was founded. This is not just about Ukraine. This is about the core and the integrity of American values. And that's what he's also betraying, not just Ukraine, he's betraying.
So the Russians are raping women. Where are those reports? I'm just curious. You saw it. It was basically no reason to hate Russia. You just have to hate Russia. It's basically like if you grew up in a Democratic Party family, you have to be a Democrat. Why? No, just because that's what we are. That's not an explanation. You have to be Catholic. Why? Because that's what we all are. That's not an explanation. You have to hate Russia. Tell me why. What has Russia done? And just remember this, for all of these Slava Ukraine people like Germany, let's say, let's use Germany as an example, Slava Ukraine, all the European countries have bought more dollars in fuel from Russia than they've given to Ukraine during the war. They've given more to Russian oil and natural gas during the war, during the 3 years of this war, than they have to finance Ukraine's resistance to this great tyrannical invasion from Russia, which really isn't much of an invasion at all. If you look at what Russia's done, they've taken over this little sliver, and people would be because it's the valiant fighting of the Ukrainians. Are you sure it's the valiant? First of all, it isn't necessarily the valiant fighting of the Ukrainians. It's because of the anti-tank missiles that Trump gave them just prior to his leaving office in 2021, which are able to slow this attack. But Russia doesn't really want it that bad. They're making a point. They want the Donbass because they wanted a demilitarized zone between them and NATO. And that's the only advancement that they made. Look at all we've advanced since we told them that we would not advance one inch closer to them. That was guaranteed them by James Baker in 1990. Guaranteed to Gorbachev. And then you got like Yeltsin. And then you got Putin. How many countries has NATO taken over since then? 11. 11 countries closer to Russia. And what's Russia taking over, Aaron?
Nothing.
Nothing. But they're the bad guys because the idiots at MSNBC with that idiot host, they're so condescending. Explain to me why you hate Russia, who was our ally in World War II, who suffered millions and millions and millions of deaths and casualties. We had hundreds of thousands. They had millions of people that died in that war. Tom's a defender of Putin. That's what they always say to discredit the truth. Then defend. It's like if you preach the gospel, they say that you're intolerant. They say you lack compassion if you actually preach the gospel of repentance, hellfire, brimstone, the promises of God. Oh, that's excellent, Aaron. Put that up. There it is. There it is. See Ukraine in the light blue? There's Russia. What is Russia taking over? Nothing. Look at NATO's encroachment. You have the dark blue, that was existing NATO. Light blue, no, you can read it for yourself. The next tier of blue down joined after fall of Soviet Union 1990. They were guaranteed, see all the lighter blue, you got the major dark that was existing NATO prior to 1990. And then the next tier of blue is all of the countries that the United States has sworn would never enter into NATO that did. So who's the bad guy? Tommy, you saying the United States didn't keep their word? How are we so virtuous when we don't keep our word? I love the United States. I mean, more than anything, I'm just telling you, but how virtuous are we? Perfect? No, we're not perfect. And neither is Russia, but Russia didn't move to the West. We moved, look at it purposely surrounding Russia, purposely moving towards them. We picked every country to move closer to them. And they're the bad guy. And you go on these MSNBC, you must hate Russia. America is attacking their house. How is Ukraine our ally, by the way? What have they ever done? Did they help us in the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, World War I, World War II, the Gulf Wars? Have they ever done anything except be the most corrupt country on the planet and launder Democratic Party money? What have they done? How are they an ally? They're an ally to the Democratic Party because they launder their money. That's it. I'll show you this one. Mike Benn's video, why NATO's Civil Political Affairs Network keeps pushing to cancel democracy in Romania. Play it for me.
Why is that port of Constantana so important to NATO?
NATO is building the largest NATO base in all of Europe right there on the Black Sea coast, pointing straight out at Crimea. As we speak, drones and military fighter jets are being moved from the Ramstein Air Force Base into that exact NATO air base. It is going to be the number one source of force projection for NATO against Russia for the duration of this war and, frankly, for the decades following. Romania does not want a big fat kick me sign from Russia on its back. And so what Georgescu is guilty of is the same thing that Imran Khan and the PIS party were. It's what the leaked State Department cables refer to as taking a, quote, aggressively neutral position. Just before Imran Khan was ousted, he had said, we want to be friends with everyone. We don't hate the United States, but we don't hate Russia. Same thing with the Polish PIS party was shifting towards the end of their tenure. They wanted good relations with all. And it's the same thing with Georgescu has been saying. He hasn't been talking ill of the West very much. It's been mostly that he just didn't want to have Romania be the source of force projection for killing Russians. And Romania plays a very important role for several reasons. It is also one of the primary modes of transport of weapons from Pakistan and from other shipment by sea before it gets to Ukraine, because it is a NATO country. And so Russia cannot mess with goods bound for Romania the same way they could if it was going directly to Ukraine. And so there is this pipeline of transshipment of munitions into Romania. Georgescu has indicated that he wants to stop that as well. He doesn't want Romanian-bound weapons killing Russians, and he doesn't want the NATO base there. And so NATO can no longer go around assassinating people or doing 1999-style, 78 straight days of bombing campaigns on the parliament in Romania simply because they voted for someone in election. They need another mechanism to make sure their plans still happen. And that mechanism is taking over the court system in Romania. And we saw USAID funds juicing the whole Romanian court system. We see USAID programs for rule of law and anti-corruption. And all that means is regime change, just because you can't assassinate him formally. The only way you can do it is judicially.
So what is wrong with having a Georgescu who just had his election stolen from him they'll say the government of Ukraine, basically the court system of, I'm not of Ukraine, of Romania, but who funds the court system in Romania? USAID. But anyway, but we're the virtuous ones in America, right? You looked at the map that we just showed you. Russia never moved to the left. We've only moved to the right. And you're like, again, you speak, Tom, are you espousing the virtue of Russia? Absolutely not. But why can't you have a Georgescu sort of attitude where you don't hate anybody? Because everybody's fault ridden and everybody's flawed and nobody's perfect. So you just don't, there's no need to systemically hate Russia. And what Georgescu won a very clear electoral victory in Romania, and he was removed from there, basically from Romania DOJ, which is funded by USAID. He's removed from office. And by the way, they aren't allowing him to register to run again. How is this a democracy? And again, all the people that are in favor of what happened to Georgescu are the espousers and the purveyors of democracy. Why was he removed? Because Russians influence the elections. Does that sound familiar to you? Because these people are not smart. They're just zealous. It's the exact same thing they accused Trump of, right? How did the Russians influence that election? Does anybody know? What did he do? Did they buy the voting machines and then manipulate the votes and give Georgescu the win? No, they bought Facebook ads again. That's it. Just like they did in the 2026 election, where they spent $200,000 on pro-Hillary ads and $200,000 on pro-Trump ads. And that's how they influenced the 2016 presidential election. That's exactly what happened, by the way. That's exactly what happened. It was actually $100,000 each because it was a total of $200,000 they spent. Then that's what you hear. To this day, you'll hear Republican senators say, we all know that the Russians were trying to influence our 2016 presidential election with $200,000. $200,000? Kamala Harris spent $1 billion on this last presidential campaign. The Russians tried to influence the 2016 election with $200,000, $100,000 on each candidate in Facebook ads. And that's the exact same thing they did in the Romanian election. And Georgescu is simply saying, I don't want to be the NATO port, the NATO conduit of weapons flowing into Ukraine because I don't want to deal with Russia. Is there anything wrong with that, Aaron?
No.
No, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. They don't want to be the black seat port of weapons flowing out of the EU into Ukraine. They don't want that. They're not interested in being that conduit of weapons. That's all. And by the way, that's exactly what got the Ukrainian prime minister removed in 2014 because he had the exact same attitude. Yanukovych. Yanukovych simply said, we're going to be neutral, stay out of NATO. We don't want to hate the Russians. We don't want to hate the United States. We just want to have a Ukraine. And of course, Jake Sullivan didn't let that happen. Victoria Nuland didn't let that happen. Hussein Obama didn't allow that to happen. Lindsey Graham and John McCain didn't allow that to happen. Chris Murphy, Senator Chris Murphy out of Connecticut, was sitting there watching the color revolution. Well, that worked, by the way. What they did there was they said to Yanukovych, they said, you know what? You're going to have a bunch of people protesting your election. Of course, that protest was orchestrated by USAID and CIA. Make sure that you, Yanukovych, do not violently react to them, or we're going to come against you as the United States. So they had their own crowd start the violence with Yanukovych's police so that Yanukovych had to defend himself. So then they could come out and say, see, he's violent. He must be removed from power. That's exactly what they did. And they just stole the election right here from the rightful Romanian president, Georgescu. Gosh, dog, man. 10-17. Man, I can't believe it. Show goes by fast, doesn't it? All right, that's it. I got too much. Man, I have this giant stack of stuff, man. All right, Rumble Rants. Nate Dad, $50. Thank you so much. One and only Nude Monk, $20. Dave Souders, $20. J. Anna Jones, $10. Ducey Club. Ducey, is that right? Ducey. I'd say Ducey Club. What do you think, Aaron?
Yeah, probably.
Ducey Club. Yeah. $5. Thank you guys so much in the rant. Thank you guys so much in the chat. Now, listen, I put it together a little treat for you in the postgame. You're already welcome. It's music videos from the left. It's a bunch of singing from the left. You're going to love it. I mean, there's some other things in there, too. We'll do those first. We're going to finish with a Democratic sing party at the end of the postgame. You've got to see it. I mean, you really have to see it. Aaron will merge all those videos together. It's so good. You got to stick around. If you want to laugh, stick around for the post game. We'll be there literally in 30 seconds. I love y'all. See you tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.